Welcome to the Trust the Wizards podcast. We're here for another mini pod.
Yes.
The Music Lover's Guide to Music.
If you like.
And my name's Rebel Rickett.
Hello.
And I'm joined here tonight by Mr. Kicker of
Owls. I'm very excited, Rebel.
Are you very excited?
I am, yeah.
I thought you might be.
Yeah.
You might be because you're a bit obsessed with this band, aren't you?
Well, yeah, we should say who we're going to go and see. Actually.
Good idea. Yeah. The gig tonight is Mott the Hoople at Manchester.
Mott the fucking Hoople.
Calm down.
Yeah.
At the Manchester Apollo.
Yeah.
It's the 17th November 2013. You heard it here first. And this is the Mott the Hoople.
Ooh. Well, it nearly is, actually, because, I mean, one of these... Mott the Hoople, of course, have been going... Sort of the late 60s band, aren't they?
Does anyone not know the history?
I don't know.
Let's do a test. Go on, then, tell us the history.
Well, all right. I have got some dates, actually, written down. I did write some dates, but I can't find them. So, we'll have to go... Basically, they're set in the late 60s. I think their first album came out sort of 69, something like that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Then they only made records for about 5 years.
Yeah.
And within that period, of course, they released a huge hit written for them by David Bowie, which was All the Young Dudes.
All the Young Dudes?
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times I've heard All the Young Dudes.
A lot.
Millions.
But how many times played by Mott the Hoople?
Never.
I know, it's so exciting.
But the thing I was going to say was that, look, these people are 74.
Well, let's get on to that, because you said, you know, it's the real Mott the Hoople, and it is. The Mott the Hoople, all of them are still alive, which is great news. You know,
for them.
Especially for their families. Ian Hunter, 74.
Wow.
Overend Watts, 66.
Overend Watts, that was it. What a name.
That's a good name, isn't it? Not as good as Ariel Bender, who was in and out of the band,
yes,
to be
yes.
fair. But Mick Ralphs, of Bad Company fame, now 69.
Yeah.
Verdon Allen, 69. Dale Griffin, 65. Now, Dale Griffin is the drummer.
He's quite young, isn't he?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he's not very well. So I think he's got Alzheimer's or some such illness. So he's not playing.
Oh.
So they brought in a youngster... Martin Chambers, who of course is a pretender in more ways than one. And he's 62. So the total age of the band, I worked it out.
God.
I like these things. 343 years.
Is there an older band on the planet?
Wow,
the oldest band ever.
I don't know. All the old dudes.
Hey. Well, I was thinking about the greatest rock and roll contradiction.
Yes.
Is it John Lennon singing Imagine No Possessions?
Mm.
Is it the Velvet Underground singing the song Jesus?
Well, yes.
Or is it someone or a band with a combined age of 342 singing All the Young Dudes?
Yeah. Is it a contradiction? Because, I mean, they're singing to All the Young Dudes.
No, they're not.
And frankly, we are the Young
we
Dudes.
We are the Young Dudes compared to them.
Yeah, we are. Who'd have thought? Well, I am very excited about seeing these because I had my first Mott the Hoople record in 1979. And I remember it vividly. It was the...
really?
Yeah. Wow. Mott the Hoople Greatest Hits LP. So I was a youngster.
You were very, very young.
Yeah. Well, I remember I was given it by a friend of mine called Martin Connor.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't like it. So he said, you can have it.
Right.
And I loved it. And I went back and I had a look. I haven't got the record now, sadly. But I went and had a look online to see what the... track listing was,
yeah.
And all the songs, well, one perhaps not, but nine of the 10 songs in there are all fantastic. Let me just take you through them, because I hope they play all of these.
Right.
We've got All the Way from Memphis.
Which is good.
Honolulu Boogie.
Which I've heard yesterday when you sent it to me.
Hymn for the Dudes, Born Late 58, All the Young Dudes, of course, Roll Away the Stone, Ballad of Mott, Golden Age of Rock and Roll, and probably my favourite song.
And I know what you're going to say. The Saturday Gigs.
Saturday Gigs. Which we have played on the podcast before.
We have indeed, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing all that. The one song that wasn't on the album, which I would like to hear, is one of the songs where they sound a little bit like Bob Dylan.
Well, when I listened to what you sent me yesterday, I thought that half of it was like the roots of punk. Because they're like glam rock, but it's really raw stuff there.
Yeah.
But half of it really reminded me of Bob Dylan.
Well, Brain Capers has, in some areas, I don't know, been described as the first punk album, and that was 72.
Yeah, because as their story rolled on, I say it was only 5 years, and I think, in a way, all the best rock and roll stories end very quickly. And ingloriously.
Yes, absolutely.
Because they massively hit the big time, didn't they?
Well, they were just about to split up, weren't they, before Bowie gave them that song. Because they were going to do Suffragette City. That was the song he gave them.
Oh, yeah.
I think this might, I might be getting the chronology wrong here, but so they said he was giving Suffragette City, and they made such a fucking mess of it. He refused to let them release him, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
That's a punk ethos right there, isn't it?
Straight away.
Yeah. So yeah, I wish I was your mother. Now I don't say that, I don't say that lightly. is the song I particularly like to hear.
Right.
Also, I'd like to hear Sucker and Violence.
Sucker and Violence, these are two separate songs.
Two separate songs, yes.
And were these in the sort of 1970, 71, 72?
Well, they're all 70 songs, aren't they? They're all 70 songs. So. They're all glam songs, yeah. Aren't they, really? Lots to look forward to. And, of course, we are fairly cool in going to see this band, because a number of musicians who we like very much...
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Name check.
Yes.
Of course, we've both read Morrissey's...
and it's interesting, because Morrissey's at school... Yeah. He's miserable and depressed. Surprise, surprise. and his teacher says, well, what do you like? You know, Stephen Patrick. And he said, Mott the Hoople.
Yeah.
And like, that's his go-to touchstone.
He was in the fan club, wasn't he? He says he was in the fan club. Isn't that brilliant? And who else was in the fan club?
Mick Jones.
Mick Jones?
Well, Mick Jones wasn't just in the fan club.
Ah.
I mean, he followed them around, Mick Jones.
Oh, did he?
And I mean, I was... One of the things I think the legacy is that they, I think, were the first... Well, probably not the first band, but they certainly were a band who really...
They were a band, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, that's not my point.
Oh, right.
They were a band who embraced their fans.
Oh, yeah.
And they really... It was like we're one massive Mott the Hoople gang.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and so they would get them in the back door and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I think that Mick Jones and The Clash really took that on board. And that was very much the punk ethos, wasn't it?
Yeah, the accessibility.
Accessibility, yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I mean, it was the time of glam, of course. It sort of went into glam, didn't it?
Mm.
And that was the antithesis of that, really. You sort of dressed up in such a way that you couldn't possibly agree.
Well, they were there because the other side to that is the superstars, isn't it? The alien, made David Bowie's very much like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of the glam, they were unattainable. You know, these unattainable superstars were Mott. They were just a gang.
Well, they were memorably described. I can't remember who said it, but I did write it down. They were described as looking like hod carriers in drag.
Yes, I heard that.
That's what you want from your glam band.
Did you know, and I'm assuming that you do, the role that Guy Stevens played in this?
I do, but you tell me.
Well, the role Guy Stevens played in this, Guy Stevens...
Producer of London Calling.
London Calling. Guy Stevens, the classic record producer, and again, a bit of a Svengali. He was, I think, at Island Records.
Right.
And he was seen as a bit of a nutcase, yeah. I think, all the way through his career.
Well, I think he was a nutcase.
He was a nutcase. And, but he really wanted his own band, and he had a vision for what they might look and sound like.
Right.
So he was the one who got Mott the Hoople,
yeah.
And worked with them and built the image.
Gave them their name.
Indeed, even gave.
Do you know the story about the name?
No, I don't.
Well, the interestingly, because Guy Stevens, as you said, nutcase, was in prison,
non-reasonably
for some sort of drug-related offences. And while in prison, he picked up a novel by Willard Manus or Manu, I don't know, called Mott the Hoople, and he thought. Didn't think that might be an interesting book to read. He thought, that's the name of a band that I've got to take
yes,
around the
course.
Country. So, yeah, that's
I think that's the way Guy Stevens' mind worked.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, you've got a list of all sorts of interesting things on
there. Not really, I think you've covered this.
Oh, have we?
Because I was saying, if there's no Mott Hoople, there'd be no Clash. If there was no Mott Hoople, there'd be no Smiths. If there was no Mott Hoople, there'd be no Punk. But I've said that before.
Have you?
Yeah.
So you just said it again.
I've kind of repeated myself, yeah. So.
Okay, alright then.
Well, without editing, it just stays.
We may well have run to the point where yeah. We've got nothing else to say then.
But the one thing I was going to ask you, because I think is Mott the Hoople, you know, crashed and burned, 1974, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But you've been following this guy.
Ian Hunter.
Yeah, ever since then, haven't you?
Well, he's so...
I've got no idea what he's done.
Oh, really?
No. Well, the one song that you played...
You're Never Alone with a Schizophrenic, that was one of his.
bit of an obvious joke, but...
Yeah, that's exactly. No, he's had loads of very interesting solo albums out.
Yeah.
He had a bit of a dip in the late 80s, but recently he had a run of three albums he's released. Was it last year or was it the year before?
One Will I Be President.
Yeah, what a great album
that's
that is.
Fantastic.
And the album before that was very good. Oh, Man, is it Man Overboard? Something Overboard.
Mm.
He's still going. He still performs with his Vant band.
Yeah. But when you got the tickets and said, come to this,
yeah.
I thought we were going to see Ian Hunter and the Ramp Band.
Oh, did you?
I didn't know. There's a huge added bonus to this in that they were getting the band back together.
This is so exciting. Because they did this in 2009. They had I think they did three shows in 2009 at Motley Hoople. Mm. And I think they're doing four this year. This is the last one. I think they've already done... They've certainly played Birmingham already. I think they might have played Glasgow already. London is either first and has gone always after this one.
It's not a very big tour, that, is it? First project.
No, first, you can't be going around.
I think that probably is it, you know.
Yeah.
The point I was going to make was, you know, should they retire? I'm just thinking about the impact it has, these old bands, you know, keep popping up and doing their stuff. Is it a drag on new creativity? Because in some respects, you know, it'd be hard for a new band to come up and fill the Apollo, are too many people still looking to a golden age rather than folks in
the golden age of rock and roll? I'd have to say bollocks to that, because I want to see Motley Hoople, and I never did because I wasn't born. But I wasn't old enough to.
You're not 3 years old. You're not going to get to
No, I'm not going to go and see them. I want to see them. I'm really excited about seeing them. Once I've seen them, I probably don't need to see them again. I don't know. Maybe I might change my mind after tonight.
But, I suppose,
you know, one-off performances, I think, is great.
It is legitimate, isn't it? And he's still caring. He's still a musician. He's still doing it. He's still writing. Yeah. So I think that's fine.
Yeah.
And I was going to make another point.
Good.
So stay with me.
I'm waiting for this point.
Stay in the moment. Oh, God, one would hope so.
Philip, we were talking about you losing memory earlier, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
While you're thinking about that, it was a bit self-indulgent, but in fact, we can reference an earlier pod. You know our Jack Pop interview pod?
I do.
Hugely popular with most listeners.
Millions of downloads.
My mother-in-law listened.
Really?
Yes, she did, yeah. And she gave a bit of feedback.
All right.
Yeah, she says, you too much. And you laugh too loud.
Yeah,
that's true. Is it true?
I always think that when I listen. The point I was going to make.
Yes.
The point I was going to make that you can sort of let Mott the Hoople off because they didn't play a concert. From sort of 1974 to 2009.
Yeah.
So it's not like they've been a big drag on the cultural ground, is it really?
I think there are bands around now who are much more of a drag.
Yeah. Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah. Ugh. Disappointing, yeah.
Right, okay, let's wrap this up then.
Shall we play a song?
Good God, yes.
Okay, well, as I've already said, I wish I was your mother.
Just It's no use me pretending. You give and I do the spending. Is there a happy ending? I don't think so. Cause even if we make it, I'll be too far out to take it. You'll have to try and shake it from my head.
Okay, this is after the Mott the Hoople concert.
Very much in the aftermath.
Very much in the aftermath, and I think a lot of concerts people go to and they say, I was there, I saw the Sex Pistols at 100 Club.
Yes.
Well, we're going the complete opposite.
Yes.
I was there.
Yes.
I was there, but I was sort of at the end of something rather than at the very beginning of
it
something.
It did feel like the end, didn't it? Especially right at the very end of the end.
Yeah, well, shall we talk about the end of the end at the end?
Why not?
Shall we talk at the beginning?
Well,
this beginning.
But I have to say that some of the highs this evening were as high as I've been at a concert this year, certainly, and probably for some time.
I think you're right. Well, shall we talk? Shall we go to the beginning of the the support band?
Oh, totally Christ, support band.
Remember them? The contrast.
All I can remember about the support band is thinking these seats smell of piss.
Well, I was thinking more they smelled of vinegar.
Well, I think
vinegar and piss, actually. Yeah.
I think it was mostly piss.
The whole
and can we just say that wasn't us?
No.
I mean, it was very much the odour that we came to rather than brought with us.
The Apollo is a fantastic venue.
Isn't it? Yeah, very rock and roll, isn't it?
Very rock and roll. It looks great. It's got a great authenticity, but it does smell of piss.
It certainly did round us.
If you have anything to do with the administration of the Apollo Theatre in Manchester, give it a bit of a shake and back, I think you suggested.
I did suggest shake and back, yeah.
I think you'd do a lot worse than that. There was a lively bass player on the sport band. He was having a go.
Yeah, what were they called?
The contrast.
What a contrast.
Contrast it was. But I thought, the two riffing guitars, I thought they were pretty good.
They had one very good song which sort of went doop doop or something in the chorus.
Yes, they had that in the chorus.
That was very good.
And it was something to do with Jethro Tull. The bass player introduced it. He said, didn't he? Who remembers Jethro Tull?
And a few voices said yes.
I didn't, but I do remember.
And they said, this is for Jethro Tull.
And we
turned to each other and said, did he say someone's died?
Yes.
So, and I think that was generally the reaction that introduction got.
Yeah, the song was a bit better. And then it dawned on me, certainly, that the voice that the singer had was awful.
Well, I thought that the microphone that he was singing through may well be broken, but I think actually that was his singing voice, wasn't it?
No, because it persisted all the way through, didn't it?
Yeah.
And, I think that's enough about that.
Yeah, let's get on to Mott the Hoople, because legends, really.
Well, they are, aren't they? I mean, you know, they were absolutely massive. They burned so bright, didn't they? And
yes.
There was a real anticipation in the crowd.
There was.
There was a real anticipation that the people there were absolutely up for it. And they were expectant.
Yes.
Expectant and but with a tinge, you know, a tinge of sort of sadness.
Well, because as you rightly say, you know, they're not going to do that very often, are they?
Well, I mean, you know, just to bring everyone up to date, you know, the drummer couldn't be there because he's got Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad.
Yeah.
And they're all pushing 70,
well,
75.
But having said that, Ian Hunter...
Oh, yeah.
You know, 74, fucking hell, he's moving around like a spring chicken. He's still got the voice, he's still got the shades, he's still got the hair.
Yeah.
And he's thin.
Yeah.
He reminded me of John Cooper Clarke. Now, that's a look to have at 74, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Very cool. And it is just the way he moves.
Yeah.
You can't put your finger on why someone's cool sometimes. But, yeah, just... He seems to bop with every step.
Yes, that's right. But, I mean, you know, fair play. They've all got hair. A lot more hair on the band than between us wizards.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Sadly. I was thinking, in the crowd, you know, they had more hair on the stage than there was in the crowd.
And it was full.
Yes, it was probably a sellout thing.
I think so, yeah.
Obviously, the demographic was largely 50, 60-year-old blokes.
Mostly that would be the case, yeah.
But, you know, a first smattering of females and a first smattering of young people,
yes.
I think.
And I have to say that, you know, if I was being brutally honest, there were some moments which I could describe as sort of filler. But when they played the songs that I wanted to hear, they were played really well.
Well, I mean, you had an advantage on me in that I think you knew about 80% of the songs, maybe
more.
Yeah,
I think so, probably.
I knew about 20% of the songs.
Okay. But you knew the best 20%, though,
didn't
you?
True. But I would say that 20% wasn't played in the first hour.
Ah, no, that's probably true.
I don't think any of the dudes
came up quite early.
And yes, that was good.
That was definitely an early highlight, and especially when the guitar solo kicks in the middle of that. That was one of those moments where, you know, hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
Somebody completely stopped.
Yeah.
And boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I just meant to mention Ian's guitar.
Oh, yes.
Which you identified correctly as an Iron Cross.
I did, actually, yeah.
And which is not a Nazi symbol at all.
Certainly not.
German military, but not Nazi.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that he swapped it after every song.
Did he? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I know it's when he swapped to an acoustic guitar occasionally.
Yeah, well, he swapped that one after, like, in the first five or six songs, swapped it every single time. I think it was more of a tuning issue rather than have 50 Iron Cross guitars in the background there.
But that wasn't the most exciting guitar, was it?
No. No, you're moving us right up to the stunning bass.
Well, for the song Violence.
It was Violence, wasn't it?
And, yes, we got to see Overend had something on the end of his guitar. It was a
remarkable thing.
Well, he came out and he did something with a drill on it.
Was the drill something to do with the guitar? I couldn't say. It was a very, very low drill repetitively.
No, it was a drill. He literally had a drill on it.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he also had shades on, which we assumed he was taking on.
Let's get into the picture here. He donned shades. He made an excruciating noise with a drill. He played a bass with one string, and a crudely affixed blade on the end of the bass.
Yes, he did.
And then walked up to the mic and said, "This is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt us."
Yeah. But he didn't stab anyone with it, though.
No, that was basically the end of the Violence.
So I think that was the most impressive instrument.
Yes, it was. There was another guitar there that looked like some sort of skeleton, but no one ever picked it up.
No, it was just there.
I'll tell you what I thought overall, though, particularly in that first half of the show, I felt that I'd been invited to a reunion when I hadn't been part of the class.
Yeah. Well, there were some quite... I mean, there were fairly obscure songs that they were playing, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because they started with Rock and Roll Queen, and then I think early on they played. I don't know. What else did they play? I can't remember. Well, Him for the Dudes was a highlight.
By the way, did you notice the seating policy? The seating policy. I noticed earlier on that down in the front, if people stood up, and one particular guest, two very excited fellas stood up, second row, and the yellow security guard came in front, and he was back to the stage. He said, "Down,
down."
And they were like, "Well, enthusiasm, we're loving it."
Yeah.
Down,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then another guy, about four rows down, who was massive,
yes,
stood up all the way
through.
He
did. I saw that. Yeah.
No one dared to say a word to him.
Least of all the person sat behind him.
Yes, true, yeah. But then later I noticed that these two enthusiastic guys, you couldn't keep them down. They were big guys as well. So they shot up again. And the guy behind him, he's pointing at him and shouting, saying, "I can't see a bloody thing." And then he's there to the security guys, "Come on, do your stuff." But by this stage, there were so many people stood up that they were sort of thinking, "Oh, I can't be arsed with this."
Well, and you know, it did end up with everybody stood up downstairs.
Yeah, well, of course, what's he called again, the bass player?
Overend Watts.
What are you supposed to do? So the security guards are there saying, "It's a seating policy, everyone must sit down." And the band are going, "Come on, I can't see you, come on."
Yeah, and they stormed.
They stormed the stage.
Was that in the encore, though? That might well have been.
No, it was before the encore. Was it? And it was the last song. And, I mean, what a great sight to see 50 and 60-year-olds, you know, seeing authority and just pushing its nose at a joint and storming the stage like they used to do.
This kind of sums up the band as well, doesn't it, to a certain extent?
Oh, it's brilliant.
So, other highlights for me. Mm-hmm. Roll Away the Stone was a definite highlight. All the Young Dudes, of course. But they played my favourite song to finish.
Did they play it? Oh, yeah, Saturday gigs
at the end.
Wait, sorry. Let's just...
Are you rolling me back again?
I'll roll back that stone before you get to the Saturday gigs.
Okay.
I mean, because I think the gig warmed up nicely. Some of the slow songs, even though I didn't know them.
Yes.
They were moving.
There was Hymn for the Dudes and the Ballad of Mott the Hoople.
Yes.
Both quite early on. They were both fantastic.
And did you notice the pictures? I don't know what song it was when they put the pictures of the fallen members of the band.
Well, that was a Ballad of Mott the Hoople, yeah.
That was very moving.
It was very moving.
You know, I hadn't forgotten
that. And the crowd appreciated that, didn't they? There was a big reaction.
Well, the drummer's pitch came up, just spontaneous applause burst out. And then Mick Ronson was next.
Yeah.
And that was the same. And we could see the decay that's on all the rest of the band. Didn't need it pointed out. But no, to be fair, they look great except for the guitarist, who looked a little bloated, I felt.
Well, I felt that, you know, Mick Ralph, but he played superbly. He's got a body like mine, but I don't think I can play the guitar like him.
No. So he's one up on you there.
Yeah.
We have to say, it did go a bit askew a bit, because you turned to me on that fantastic boogie song. What's it called?
Honolulu Boogie.
And I had
they
noticed
had some sound issues, didn't they?
They did. I noticed the song before that, when Ian had gone over to play the piano in front of the backing singers, that they were about 5% of the sound. The guitar was about 60% of the sound.
Yeah, it was quite loud. But that made for some excellent soloing, didn't it?
Oh, I mean, you were waiting for the solo to come on, because, good Lord, it filled the room.
It certainly did. Much like Mick himself.
Yes, indeed. But the bass player, I mean, you've got to say words about the bass player, because, you know, green winkle pick as he was.
He did, yeah.
I don't know what his top was, that huge pink thing.
and what a hairdo.
What a hairdo.
But, I mean, you could tell...
Is that a comb-over, or is that just...
Well, it's almost like a rock and roll Donald Trump.
It's very good.
But he's clearly a rock and roll star.
Oh.
I turned to you one point and said, "Can you imagine what he was like?"
Went
you know,
his 20s,
in his twenties, and you said, "Pretty much the same."
I couldn't imagine him being any more wild.
No, fantastic. That's a great attitude. That's what you want to see on stage.
Well, that's why I thought you could see the chemistry of the band, and that it's not Ian's band.
No.
You know, because there was personality all around him, and they all took a song. They did, didn't they? The one that you turned to me said, "This isn't very good." When the keyboard player was singing,
I didn't enjoy that song particularly, but I don't know what it was. That was a bit of a low for me. It's a bit of respite. That's all right.
It's true. Yeah, it went on a bit prog for a moment, didn't it? Yeah.
We don't like prog, do we?
Some of us don't. No. And then, let's come on to the encore. Well, we knew he was going to play some big hitters in the encore.
Yeah, well, there were a number of songs which we knew were bound to play, but they hadn't played yet. But I have to say, I didn't expect them to start the encore with All the Young Dudes. I thought that was going to be a closer.
No, and what a version that was. I mean, if you remember, just before the encore, they'd played All the Way from Memphis.
That's right, yeah.
So we knew we had to Roll Away the Stone and All the Young Dudes, and of course your super favourite, the Saturday gigs.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sure they were necessarily going to play that, but I was hoping.
No, because it's not necessarily one of the best known, is it? It didn't go as big as All the Young Dudes.
No. Anyway, so they came out and played All the Young Dudes, and it was hugely moving, wasn't it?
It was. It's a song that lends itself to the whole audience singing All the Young Dudes, the chorus.
Yeah, but the whole place sang.
It did. And Ian riffed over the top. And at one point he riffed, "You, I want to F you." I think he said that.
Well, I'm not sure you did, sir. Well, that's on the original, of course.
Is it?
Yes, it is. There's a spoken bit on the original. But what he did ad-lib here was, "There's life in the old man yet."
There's life in the old man yet. He offered someone to take them back to the changing rooms, shall we say.
Yeah.
And then he said, "Because there's life in the old dog yet."
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent stuff.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, but it was fantastic to see that band play that song.
Well, I'm trying to capture what was going on in the room, because, you know, at that point, everyone was really moved. You start to really get a sense of, they've played the gig, they're playing the encore,
yeah.
They were fairly tired by the end of the gig,
yeah.
They're probably not going to play, you know, very many songs,
yeah.
And they might never, ever do this again.
They might not, no.
Well, I don't think they will. I can't see how they can.
Not with our track record.
No, true. We've finished a few off before now. So I think there really was a sense of, this is your last chance to sing along with this band.
With this group of people, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful.
Super.
And then was it during that song when by this stage, you had the backing singers?
Well, the backing singers had come on just towards the end of the set, hadn't they?
Yeah.
But I think he may well have introduced them at this point, because we didn't know who they were.
No.
A motley crew.
Yeah.
But it turns out
we know why.
All familial.
Yeah, I mean, you had Ian's daughter, his youngest son, and I think one of his middle sons. I don't know how many sons.
Well, no, got. I think there was, yeah, his daughter and his youngest son, and between them was Mick Ralph's son.
Yes, yes.
And then there seemed to be an older bloke on the end who Ian Hunter suggested might be his eldest son, but I think he may have been taking the piss.
Oh, right.
Well, I might be wrong.
Believed
we were quite a long way away, so it's difficult to tell how old he was. But.
Well, maybe, yeah. Yeah, so he introduced all the kids, and then played Roll Away the Stone.
Another fantastic song.
Yeah, and that really was a good version. I did feel, because he got someone to help him out on stage, didn't he?
Well, you know that, that he came on for All the Young
Dudes. All the Dudes, yeah.
That was, what was his name? Him out of Def Leppard.
Really?
Yes. Which,
you're kidding me.
It's a bit incongruous, really. But yeah, I can't remember what his name is.
Wow.
Elliot.
And I was assuming that he got him on stage because he needed a bit of help, because his voice was sounding a tad tired.
Fair play. Yeah, I'm allowed to be tired.
And it was only really getting towards that stage that you really thought, oh, these really are all.
Joe Elliott.
Oh, is that Joe Elliott?
I think it's Joe Elliott, yeah.
I'm finding that hard to believe, to be honest with you.
I might be wrong.
Well, I think, listener, I'd check that out. But what we do know is that the drummer was the Pretender.
He went two arms.
So he could have been Def Leppard. But he was tremendous.
He was superb, yeah.
I always liked him in the Pretenders, but he was fantastic in this.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the last song then.
Well, and then, of course, you know, there were two songs that I really wanted to hear, and they were never going to play If I Was Your Mother. And I did think about shouting it out, but then, well, I wish I was your mother, rather. I did think about shouting out, but that's not the sort of thing you want to shout out, probably.
No.
But they played Saturday gigs.
Yeah.
Do we remember the Saturday gig? We remember this Sunday gig, don't we?
This is the Sunday gigs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they remember the Saturday gigs, isn't it?
Yeah, because we do.
We do?
Yeah.
We've wove the whole song into that then. Fantastic. But I thought that, I know we talked about this on the pod some time ago.
Yeah, isn't it a coincidence that that song should be chosen for this year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're doing the pods, and then we go and see Motley Hoople. Who knew?
Maybe we reminded them.
Maybe.
But when we talked about in the pod, they'd written the Saturday gigs in about 1974, and they told, there's like a whole reminiscence about things that happened like 6 months before.
Well, they went to Croydon.
Went to Croydon, yeah. And but in this context, were they looking back 30, 40, is it 40, 50 years?
Yeah,
40. 40 years ago, it took on a new resonance, a new poignancy, I felt.
Yeah.
And this is when they should be singing it. And they're singing about all these memories and these fantastic times.
And the pictures,
they had.
Pictures behind them as we went
pictures
through.
Behind them flashing up.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was absolutely beautiful.
Very moving.
And the crowd is singing it with them.
Yeah.
And they're saying, "Did you remember it? Because we do. It meant as much to us as it meant to you."
Yeah.
You know, and we've all been on this journey together, and here we're at the end of the journey.
And it did feel like a bit of finality. I really did think. And then, of course, the line at the end about goodbye.
Yeah.
Lots, you know, it felt like a goodbye.
Well, it really did, because they sung goodbye for ages.
Yeah, so that would be why then, probably.
But, you know, you didn't have to make the point, did you?
No.
You didn't have to make the point, because
I just did.
You did. Everyone was on the same page, weren't they?
Yeah.
And as we all sang goodbye, goodbye, and we sung it with the band, and Ian was at the front, and then as he walked off, everyone knew we just said goodbye to Mott the Hoople.
I think so. And it was a superb finish.
It was. Well, you can't... It's not fear to that, is it? That's real life.
From the heart. And there were moments where I had tears in my eyes, and, you know, the silly moments, really, but I was remembering, okay, my history with Mott the Hoople. The first time I heard that record, I played it loads, because it was one of only a few records that I had, you know, and I was remembering being a child, and it was not a happy memory, obviously.
No, obviously not. You're thinking, let me out of this room!
But, yeah, I'm really glad we went to see him. I'm really glad we caught them.
Yeah, and you know, you're never going to get that again. Well, are we going to move to this stage where we're watching bands that are that old that, you know, it's your chance to say goodbye to them?
You do wonder. You know, you think, well, Springsteen, is he going to keep going and keep going?
How many more years? Yeah.
But anyway, I think we should finish there, and I think you should choose the song to play us out.
It's going to be All the Young Dudes. So and. Goodbye, Mott the Hoople, and thank you.
Thank you, all you old dudes.
A little rapped all night about his suicide. I'd kick it in the head when he was 25. Speed jive, don't want to stay alive when you're 25. And when he's stealing clothes from Marks and Sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the stars from his face, funky little boat race. The television man is crazy, same with juvenile delinquent Rex. Oh man, I need TV when I got T-Rex. Oh brother, you get. Stones, we never got it off on that revolution stove. What a drag. Too many snacks. Nah, I drunk a lot of wine and I'm feeling fine. Gonna raise some cap to bed.